you, Pastor O'Sullivan. Thank you, Orchestra. And good evening to you. Welcome to our service here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis. Happy New Year. We're back in the book of Genesis. Lord willing, we will complete it by the end of this year. Lord willing, we'll see how the Lord leads. Genesis chapter 36. What a place to start in Genesis. The descendants of Esau. Genesis chapter 36, verse number 1. The title of my sermon tonight is Esau, the Flesh in Action. Esau, the Flesh in Action. Note there in verse 1 it reads, "Now these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom." Let's bow for prayer. O God in heaven, we are thankful for the reminder that we can rejoice in Thee, that You make no mistakes. Thank You for the times of testings that You bring, that You allow within each of our lives. And thank You that You are endeavoring to transform us into Your blessed image. So Lord God, teach us a little bit more about our sinful nature, that we might walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. In this chapter, Genesis chapter 36, we have the descendants of Esau. Esau, the brother of Jacob. And this chapter gives us some insight concerning Esau's family, his descendants, which is made up of three wives, an unknown number of daughters, five sons, and 10 grandsons. So it doesn't take much to build a nation, to build a people group. Esau is the brother of Jacob. And they were twins, and before birth, the Bible teaches us that they wrestled with one another in their mother's womb. And that struggle continued between them. And it is a fitting picture of the battle between the flesh and the spirit in the life of the born-again Christian. In Galatians chapter 5, we are told, "The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Jacob became Israel, a prince with God. He moves on and grows into a godly patriarch. Esau had the same opportunity to be godly, but he chose the path of ungodliness. And as there was a struggle within the womb of Rebekah, the mother, between these two, Jacob and Esau, so likewise in the life of every blood-bought child of God, there is a battle that rages within between the flesh and the spirit. The sinful nature and the work of the Holy Spirit within our lives. And if you don't sense that battle within, there's something seriously wrong about your spiritual life. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the Bible teaches us the spirit against the flesh. They are at war one with another. Esau was at war with Jacob. And as we study this chapter on Esau's descendants, I'd like for us to note some of the trademarks of the works of the flesh. The flesh in action. That's the life of Esau. The flesh in action. The sinful nature in action. So let's be discerning this evening as to whether we are being led by the Spirit, or lured into sin and destruction
by the flesh. Until we receive our glorified bodies at the rapture of the church, we will battle with our sinful nature, the flesh. So let's expose him tonight from the life of Esau. Let's expose the flesh, the sinful nature, from the life of Esau tonight. First and foremost, I'd like for us to note concerning the work of the flesh from the life of Esau is that the flesh is self-willed. The flesh is self-willed. Note there in verse number 2, Esau took his wives of the daughters of Canaan, Adah, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zeboan the Hivite. Esau married unbelievers. The flesh is self-willed. If you go back to Genesis chapter 26, in verse number 34 and 35, and Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and Rebekah. And the first lesson I'd like for us to note is that Esau married unbelievers. The flesh is self-willed, and we see that from the life of Esau. And this broke his parents' heart, the heart of Isaac and the heart of Rebekah. Now you'll note there, if you compare chapter 26 to chapter 36, some of the names vary. Now, it could be that some of his wives had died, or he might have divorced some, he might have married others, or maybe he still had five or six wives, but he chose to focus on three of them. We don't know. So when you violate the Word of God, you'll get yourself in a bit of a mess. That's the point I'm trying to make. So who knows how many wives he really had at the end of the day. But he focuses on three of them here in, three of them are mentioned here in chapter 36. Beloved, the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Yoking up a donkey and an ox was forbidden within the Old Testament. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And beloved, the Bible teaches us that we are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It grieved the heart of Isaac and Rebekah. Why? Because they knew it was wrong. They knew that their children should marry within the faith. And beloved, the flesh is self-willed. And the first mark I want to stress from the life of Esau concerning the flesh wants it his way, the only way. The flesh is self-willed. It seems that Aholibamah, which is mentioned in verse number 2, was his favorite wife. Look at that name closely. Names in the Bible have significance. If we had time, we'd study all of these names here in chapter 36, but you might get bored with me, but I believe there will be some insight as to the character of these individuals that came from this fleshly man by the name of Esau. Aholibamah was his favorite wife. Her name means tent, a hole. Ibamah, high place, tent in high place, to dwell in high place, from which we can infer that she was probably a temple priestess. Immorality was a key part of Canaanite temple worship, and Esau scraped at the bottom of the barrel. He married Aholibamah, a hole in a high place. Our prayer should be, beloved, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. But the flesh will say, I want it my way. I have no doubt in my mind that Isaac and Rebekah taught Esau, like they taught Jacob, that we must marry within the faith. The Lord Jesus, before he was arrested and crucified, he said, O my Father, this cup, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. What governs your life? Your will or God's will? See, when the flesh is in control, the flesh will want to have his way. The flesh is self-willed. And that was Esau all over because he married these Canaanite women. Go to verse number 6. I'd like for us to note another mark of the flesh from the life of Esau. The Bible reads in verse 6, And Esau took his wives and his sons and his daughters and all the persons of his house, that is all the offspring, and his cattle and all his beasts and all his substance, which he had got in the land of Canaan, and went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob. The second mark that I'd like to stress from the life of Esau concerning the flesh is not only self-willed. Self-willed. Are you self-willed? What governs your life? Is your attitude, my will, or his attitude is, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? I trust that is your attitude. The flesh is not only self-willed, but the flesh loves his own self-company. And note here that Esau removed himself from his brother Jacob. He wasn't interested in his company and in his communion. The Bible teaches us that he went in the country from the face of his brother Jacob. Esau didn't want the pressure of Jacob being around and preaching to him about his waywardness. Jacob was not perfect, but he was a work of progress, was he not? Who do you like to commune with? Who do you like to spend time with? See, Esau wanted to move out on his own because he wanted to do what he wanted to do without somebody preaching to him. And we see that Esau moves out of home. He says, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm not going to have anybody preach to me. I'm not going to have mum preach to me. I'm not going to have dad preach to me. I'm not going to have that brother of mine, Jacob, preach to me. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to move out of home. My friend, saved people want to be around saved people. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Jacob was far from perfect, but he wanted to do right. He stumbled, yes, but he wanted to do right. But Esau went from the face of Jacob. He didn't want to be with him because he didn't want to be preached at, no doubt. Elisha wanted to be with Elijah. Who do you want to spend time with? See, the flesh likes his own company. The flesh is self-willed. The flesh likes his own company because the flesh wants to do what the flesh wants to do. The flesh doesn't want to be accountable. The flesh doesn't want anybody saying, that's not right. You shouldn't be doing that. That's the flesh. The flesh loves his own country, his own company, pardon me. And that was Esau all over because he went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob. Also look at verse number 7. For their riches were more than they might dwell together. And the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. Esau, like Jacob, was wealthy. He didn't need to rely on anybody. It was natural and feasible for him to go his separate way. Another mark of the flesh from the life of Esau is that the flesh is not only self-willed. The flesh loves his own company. The flesh, thirdly this evening, is self-sufficient. Is self-sufficient. Look at verse number 24, please. It talks about, and these are the children of Zibeon, both Ajar and Anar. This was Anar that found the mules in the wilderness as he fed the asses of Zibeon, his father. So Esau was very wealthy. Esau was self-made and self-sustaining. He didn't need God in his life. Didn't need Jacob. He had everything at his fingertips. And I see from this the danger of being self-sufficient. He said, oh, I can go my own way because I'm wealthy, and Jacob can go his own way because he's wealthy, and we can't both abide together because we all have so much. Self-sufficiency. And beloved, another mark of the flesh is not only that it's self-willed and it loves its own company, doesn't want to be held accountable with anybody, but also the flesh is self-sufficient. We need to realize that we need the Lord in our lives. And we need to rely upon the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. This is a mark of spirituality. Many are living their lives in the arm of the flesh. It will eventually fail you. I see this time and time again. Many of God's people not walking in the Spirit. They're going through the motions of the Christian life in the arm of the flesh. And eventually, they bomb out. Self-sufficiency. Beloved, you and I as God's people need to understand, without God we are nothing. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to rest in His power. We need to rest in His fullness. We can't rest in our own self-sufficiency. Esau was self-sufficient. That was part of his problem. That was part of his problem. And the flesh will tell you, you don't need God. You don't need the Spirit of God. You can do it. You can do it on your own. Oh no, the Bible teaches us, I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. Which strengthens me. Self-sufficiency. In 2 Chronicles 32:8, the king said, with him is an arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us, to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Beloved, the flesh is self-willed. The flesh loves his own company. The flesh is self-sufficient. This is that sinful nature that is within you, that is within me. Unless you and I yield to the Holy Spirit of God, the flesh will want to dominate. And that's my next point. The flesh is dominating. The flesh is dominating. Look at verses 8 and 9. Thus dwelt Esau Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. Esau takes over this area known as Mount Seir. It is no longer under the dominion of the Horites. It is now called Edom, the land of Esau's descendants. He takes over this area. Now, in biblical times, Petra was a city of the Edomites. The famous city Petra. In the heart of Mount Seir, halfway between the Dead Sea and the Gulf of Aqaba, there is a valley surrounded on all sides by a very steep rocky cliffs. With a few narrow gorges leading inside. In this valley, the city of Petra was built. Its biblical name was Selah. The earliest inhabitants of this area were the Horites. Later, Esau, the brother of Jacob, settled in the territory south of the Dead Sea. And the descendants And his descendants, the Edomites, gradually replaced the Horites. The Edomites lived here when Israel came from Egypt during the Exodus. You might find this interesting. About 400 BC, the Edomites were driven out by the Arabian Nabataeans. These people made Petra their capital and controlled the most important trade routes between the east and the west. Caravans passed through this territory, had to pay taxes to the Nabataeans, who in this way became very wealthy, enabling them to build beautiful palaces, temples, theaters, tombs hewn out of solid rock in their capital city. In latter centuries, caravans followed other routes between the Orient and Europe. Traffic through Nabataean territory dried up. Petra became deserted and forgotten. For centuries, it was a legendary city. All the references in Scripture were considered by higher critics to be figment of the imagination. They claimed the non-existence of Petra as proof for the unreliability of Scripture. But in 1812, a Swiss explorer, disguised as an Arabian sheik, discovered the lost city. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And by the way, we are going to Petra on our trip to Israel. Yes, we are going to Israel. And we'll be going to Petra by the grace of God if he tarries. We've got room for about four more people, just so you know. And the point I want to make is this, that this city in the biblical times, Petra was a city that belonged to the Edomites, Esau country. And we see here in Genesis chapter 36 that Esau took over this area and he dominated this area. And the people, the Horites that were originally there, they were taken over. See, my point is this, beloved, the flesh doesn't want to play second man to anybody. He will appoint himself as the boss of your life. He will take over the management of your company single-handed without the cooperation of the Spirit. The flesh will not submit in our lives. We need to remind him that he is dead to us. He's a defeated foe. He is no longer our master. And we have a new master in Jesus Christ. And my point is this, beloved, Esau is dominating. He moved into the Mount Seir and he took over this people group, and it no longer was known as Mount Seir, it became known as Edom. He took over. And that's what the flesh will want to do in your life. Take over. He's not gonna be prepared to be second man. No, he wants to lead your life. And he wants to lead your life and my life into destruction. Esau has sons and sons that have sons, and when the flesh is allowed to rule our lives, he is like a rabbit that will breed sins without limit. Yes, he is. Quickly, Galatians 5. Are you still with me? Esau, the flesh in action. Beloved, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. Wow, I put off preaching on Genesis 36, saying, I said, what can I possibly say? What can you possibly preach out of Genesis 36, the descendants of Esau? And praise God, as much you can preach. Note here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, it talks about the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Then he goes on and he mentions some of the manifestations of the flesh. Look at the end of verse 21. And they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Such things. In other words, the scriptures are teaching us this is not all of the manifestations of the flesh. This is not exhaustive. Are you with me? This is not exhaustive. This is not only how the flesh will manifest itself. Such things, in other words, these are examples of the flesh. And the point I want to make is this, beloved, sin is always in the plural. Sin begets sin. And when the flesh reigns in your heart and my heart, he will dominate. Esau dominated. They moved into the Mount here, Mount Seir, and the Horites were silly enough to let them move in, and they populated, and they took over, and they changed the name to Edom. They dominated. And that's what the flesh is like. It wants to dominate. What work of the flesh are you allowing to rule in your life? Beloved, it will have babies. Yes, it will. It'll reproduce. And it will want to take over. Yes, it will. Unforgiveness, for example, will breed the baby of bitterness, which will breed the baby of immorality, which will breed the baby of profanity. The flesh is very influential. He is a leader. He will want to dominate. Beloved, the flesh, the flesh is self-willed. The flesh loves his own company. The flesh, the wicked flesh, is self-sufficient. The wicked flesh wants to dominate. The wicked flesh is an agitator. He's an agitator. Look at verse 12. Look at this. And Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son. And she bare to Eliphaz Amalek. Who is Amalek? One of Esau's wives, Adah, had a son called Eliphaz. He had a son called Amalek. Who is Amalek? Well, in Exodus 17:8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. The Amalekites were fierce enemies of the people of God, constantly at war against Israel. My friend, listen to me carefully. The flesh, he's a bully. Yes, he is. He's a bully. And he's contentious, always wanting to be in a fight. This is the work of the flesh. Always wanting to be in a fight with the Spirit. The flesh is relentless. He has a psychological issue. He is obsessive and compulsive. He's obsessive and he is compulsive. He's always combating the work of the Spirit in our lives. That's what he's like. He's an agitator. He won't give up. He doesn't go on holidays. He doesn't take long service leaves. He doesn't give any break. He is an agitator. He's obsessive, compulsive, working against the Spirit. This is the Amalekites. They were a thorn in Israel's side. And guess where their roots were? Esau. Esau people. Wow. The sodomite agenda is relentless today, is it not? It will not stop opposing biblical Christianity. It's always looking at ways to try and destroy our Christian values. Beloved, we don't need to agitate the flesh. It is always in an agitated mood. Like the devil pouncing about seeking whom he may devour. 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The flesh is an agitator. And last but not least, the flesh leads to self-mortality, death. Look at verse number, chapter 36, verse number 15. It talks about the dukes of the sons of Esau. A duke was a chief of a tribe. Look at verse 31. And these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom. So the descendants of Esau grew to the point that they had dukes, they had chiefs, and they had kings. In fact, look at verse number 31 closely. The Bible reads, before there reigned any king over the children of Israel. So here we are told that Esau had dukes, tribal chiefs, and kings reign in the land of Edom. No wonder they took over that area. This is before Israel had kings. Cain came before Abel. Ishmael came before Isaac. Esau was birthed before Jacob. Saul before David. The flesh is often first. It is the easiest and quickest to get and to be possessed by. But the work of the Spirit is generally last. Hardest to get, that is, to be under his control. Taking patience and endurance to live under his dominion. Beloved, we become a spiritual man after we understand that we are only a natural man and we need the life of the Spirit. Look at verse 33 to 39. Note the word died, and Bela died, a king. Jobah died, verse 34, a king. And Husham died, a king. Verse 36, and Hadad died, a king. Verse 37, and Samlah died, a king. Verse 38, and Saul died, a king. Death, death, death. All of these kings died. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm almost done. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The self-mortality of the flesh. To live according to the flesh is a dead-end street, beloved. We read back in Genesis 36 from verses 33 to 39, we read of seven kings in seven verses, and each of these kings died. Look with me, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Beloved, we are better off being descendants of Jacob, spiritually speaking, with Canaan in prospect, than to be descendants of Esau in Edom, enjoying the temporal pleasures of this world. Because the Bible teaches us, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. My point is simply this, the self-mortality of the flesh. That which is done in the flesh will burn up in eternity. The work of the flesh in our lives will burn up on that day of judgment, but if we will walk in the Spirit, we will produce eternal fruit with eternal crowns. Amen. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. See, the works of the flesh are evident in the life of Esau. King after king after king lived in plush, lived in pleasure, but one by one they died, they died, they died, and the work of the flesh will die. Only that which is done for Christ will abide forever. Beloved, we are better off being descendants of Jacob, spiritually speaking, with Canaan in prospect, than to be the descendants of Esau in Edom, enjoying the temporal pleasures. Esau was selfish to the core, controlled by his sinful nature. The flesh, the self-mortality of the flesh. The flesh. If you want to be reminded of what the flesh is like, just consider the life of Esau. Esau was selfish to the core. The flesh controlled him. God eventually consumed Esau and his people for their pride. God judged the Edomites because of their pride. If we go to the book of Obadiah, please. Obadiah, just after Amos. Between Amos and Jonah. One chapter. This is the shortest chapter in the Old Testament, devoted to the Edomites. And God pronouncing judgment upon Esau's people. Look at verse number 3 and 4. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou hast dwelt in the clefts of the rock. Petra, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. So God promised to judge, and God judged the Edomites. God judged Esau's descendants. Go to Jeremiah chapter 49, please. I'm almost done. Jeremiah 49:16-18. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock. This is in reference to Petra. That holdest the height of the hill, thou that shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. Also Edom shall be a desolation. Every one that goeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof. As in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, no man shall abide, neither shall a son of man dwell in it. So God promised that he would judge, and he certainly did judge the Edomites, judge them for their pride. See, the flesh, beloved, is simply pride. The flesh is self-willed. The flesh loves his own company. The flesh is self-sufficient. The flesh is self-dominating. The flesh is an agitator. The flesh will die. Self-mortality of the flesh. Esau was selfish to the core because he allowed the flesh, his sinful nature, to rule his heart. And beloved, for you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, May we walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible teaches us, be filled with the Spirit. And the lesson that I want you to walk away with tonight from the life of Esau is to note the works of the flesh. He's an agitator. He wants to dominate. He's self-willed. That's the sinful nature. And we need to reckon upon the fact that we are dead to that sinful nature, and that we are alive unto God, and let's yield our members as instruments of righteousness unto God, and walk in the Spirit, and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Esau, the flesh in action. Who rules your life? Is it Esau? He's in there. Esau is a picture of the flesh. Or is it Jacob, the work of the Spirit? And just as these two struggled and wrestled one with another in the womb of Rebekah, so likewise in the life of every blood-bought child of God, there is a battle that rages between Esau and Jacob. The work of the flesh, the work of the Spirit. Praise God that in Christ we can walk in victory and yield our members to the work of the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Let's bow for prayer.